At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
What is going on in here?
Just a couple of crazy kids practicing a little bit of black magic.
Yeah.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Dawson's Creek. Today's episode is Season 3, Episode 7, Escape from Witch Island. And now, here are your hosts,
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello, Sarah.
Abracadabra.
Akio Podcast. Hello, listeners. We are here to talk about Escape from Witch Island. But first, we want to remind you, as we told you last week, Again With This 226 is coming for our Patreon supporters on Friday, February 7th. It's going to be Let's Watch James Van Der Beek and Allie Larder. I forgot her when we mentioned this last week. In Varsity Blues. You can find it on Paramount Plus. This is going to be, honestly, the only contact I have with the Super Bowl other than watching some of the commercials the day after on YouTube, probably. But that is the peg that it's the big game this weekend, as all the commercials say. Mm-hmm. So if you want to hear our discussion about that, again with this podcast.com/club gets it for you. Support us at any level and you'll be able to hear that and all of the Friday episode archives. We still don't know who's in the Super Bowl, right?
No. As we're recording this, it's still four teams left.
Okay. Well, one of them is one that someone we both care about cares about very deeply, so I won't mention them because I don't want to jinx anything.
No. But we're I don't either.
Thinking good thoughts. All right, let's get into it. With our B plot, ACAB includes Andy. This is honestly barely a plot, but in that it doesn't cross over with the A plot at all. So I separated it out.
That aspect of it is odd. Mm-hmm. The fact that they put this actor who they're trying to style her like a 13-year-old and it does not work and she looks the age of an assistant vice principal that she ends up in this plot. And then her brother is just not in the episode or mentioned at all.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, let's dispense with it as fast as possible because remember back in episode 4? When Principal Green asked Andy to run a student disciplinary committee, it's episode 7, so here it is again. Andy's ready to go. Principal Green nicely tries to get rid of her because they just met and he doesn't know that's not possible. And the scene ends with her chasing him into his office, talking about all of her ideas. When we see her next, she has gone full fash, enforcing the school dress code as well as rules about locker decoration and sideburn length. Okay, Steinbrenner.
Yeah. Jesus.
You can see the sideburn offender in the visual aids, too. And I'm sorry, but this guy is 36 if he's a day.
Yeah. I mean, if that's why, if those were the grounds on which she got him evicted.
Yeah.
Fine. But she is also in her 30s, so.
And we do see a brief moment of Belinda, the bitchy former head cheerleader, taking notes. So when we return to Andy much, much later in the episode, there's a line of kids with citations that she has given them all the way through the cafeteria and around the corner. She is issuing sentences with a gavel as Belinda, the bitchy cheerleader, serves as court clerk. When Principal Green enters, Andy proudly says she took his suggestion and ran with it and that everyone waiting for her judgments was in direct violation of the rules of conduct. And Principal Green is like, those rules were written in 1957. Knock it off. And that's it, really.
Yeah, glad we spent time on that.
Yeah, I just wonder if like they had other ideas for it. I know there was a showrunner change at some point in this season, and I wonder if they like had to just address the stub that was brought up in the previous episode of like, okay, we're not doing it, and this is why.
Okay.
Moving on to our A-plot, Dawson apes an indie sensation and makes his friends help. We open here by finding out that even though I don't think we've seen Dawson or Pacey in the video store since the second Andy episode last season, they still do work there. Dawson leans out from the back as a frantic Joey races in and begs for a copy of The Crucible. Belinda, the cheerleader, rented it an hour ago. She is all over this thing. Joey droops, but says it serves her right for trying to take a shortcut the night before a deadline because she's too ADD to read the book. Sidebar, it's not a book, it's a play. There is a difference. It matters to English teachers. Also, ADD is real. Joey does not have it. Dawson is surprised, but with everything going on, Joey hasn't had time to keep up with school. He is thrown by her mention of the B&B because he thought she worked at the marina. And my first thought was Pacey didn't tell him about this. But then I realized he didn't have any scenes with Dawson last week either. This really is a silo season a lot of the time.
Yeah, kind of. And also a filler season. Like, I think your point about the showrunner is well taken because this is not the first episode in this season where it has felt like they were just trying to stretch to get it to 43 minutes. So,
Well, and other times it seems like they've like had modules of stories for different characters and like they've moved them around in episodes where like they take a break from them for a while. Like the Homecoming Queen's plotline was like that too.
Yeah, true.
Anyway, Dawson asks what happened and Joey calls it a long and soapy story, which it actually is. Dawson doesn't ask her to tell the story, so she asks what's up with him mentioning Eve, and he gives her the wonderful news about her, which is she's gone. The long, awkward silence cues Joey to take off, but he teases a solution that would get her out of doing the paper. He successfully pitched Principal Green, who is teaching their class for some reason, a movie instead of an essay. Pacey and Jen also got in on it. Joey cheerfully shrugs that her invitation must have gotten lost in the mail. Dawson tries to explain. She lets him off the hook. The movie is a documentary based on the local story of Witch Island, clip two.
So basically you're ripping off the Blair Witch Project.
I am insulted.
Well, sorry. Truth hurts.
Yeah, you were far from the only one, at least.
True. Also, drink every time someone calls this out explicitly. Yeah. Dawson says his documentary is real and he's using it to tell a larger story about hypocrisy and religious persecution. So the literal version of The Crucible with no understanding of the allegory. Look forward to your bad grade, idiot. There's a reason they teach it in schools and it's not because it's about witches. Joey fills screen time before telling him she's in and he gives her a smug look as we see he's got better hair. Everyone has had a haircut since the last episode and everyone looks better. Joey looks the same. Everyone else, much improved. After the credits, we are getting very in-character talking head interviews about the legend. Clip three.
In the year 1692, 13 young women, well, teenage girls, really, were banished to a small island off the New England coast because they were suspected of practicing witchcraft. One night, a year later, a fire raged out of control, killing them all.
Hands down. Best high school make-out place ever.
I think that's where your father and I made love for the first time.
God, Mom.
Honey, are you okay?
Okay.
That made me laugh.
It did. Me too. Sorry. His line reading there is, God, Mom. Yeah. Very good.
Yeah.
Maybe because for once he sounded like a teenager.
Yeah.
Cut to school, where Jen claims she was not scared by the Blair Witch Project. She thought that girl was annoying and had to run to the snack bar for Dramamine. Unlikely place to find it. It's a snack bar at a movie theater. Joey admits she was scared, and Pacey chuckles that, of course, she was. We've already gone over her scaredy catitude in the season one horror movie episode. Dawson's excited that these indie filmmakers were so successful. Jen and her much improved, not crimped hair have views on the larger topic, clip four.
I say witch is just a buzzword for a girl who happened to follow her completely healthy, totally natural urges and explore her sexuality. But see, you can't do that in the swinging 1690s without getting the good townsfolk all up in arms. So what do these puritanical, impotent creeps do instead of reaching for the Viagra? They brand these girls as witches. They send them off to some godforsaken island to die a horrible, solitary death.
Impotent.
Impotent. I mean, really. Like, if you're going to saddle Jen with this exhausting, I've just discovered misogyny is a historical problem.
Yeah.
Bit that will not end in the foreseeable. Spoiler. at least give Michelle Williams another take.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she it won't help, but impotent.
Yeah. Not the only word in this episode that is notably pronounced wrong, despite being kind of pivotal.
It is not.
Joey makes a slut-shaming joke, but in a friendly way, and Jen cheerfully agrees she would have been burned at the stake by now. Just a reminder, Jen's last sex partner was about a year ago at this point. Like,
yeah,
it's Kelly all over again, as we've said before.
Mm-hmm.
Dawson asks Joey to help him with interviews, and somehow she looks like this just melted her pants off. And as the two of them walk off together, Pacey and his much better hair joke about Kevin and Winnie taking their first steps back toward the Wonder Years. Jen is grateful that she and Pacey had the forethought never to hook up. When he agrees, she wonders why they didn't. He says the smart-ass sidekick never gets the girl, even though, again, he was getting it regular much more recently than she was.
Mm-hmm.
Also, that the two of them never needed anything from each other. Jen makes another antique reference, this one to decoder rings and cereal boxes. So Pacey takes a million words to say her post-tramp era demanded that she date a virgin like Dawson, while Black Sheep Pacey needed someone like Andy who could boost his self-respect. And so ultimately, Pacey and Jen are peers. Makes sense, actually, psychologically, mm-hmm. I thought.
Yeah, I wish it hadn't taken 17 paragraphs to get to the point, but the yes. point stands.
Jen says she thought Dawson was good at deconstruction, which he's not. That is a literary theory term. It has an actual meaning, and it's not how it's ever used on this show. Outside, Dawson and Joey both say they missed this. He feels lucky to have recaptured a feeling he lost along the way. And clip five.
I know what you mean. It's like...
I mean, granted, you know, it's only a first school project, but it's just... It feels good to be making movies again.
I thought you were talking about us, silly me.
Well, that too. Obviously. I mean, it's... You know, I really missed that whole let's make a movie bug thing we had before things got so terminally angsty, but it's... I'm really glad we're friends again.
My God, just you were off the hook.
Yeah.
Sigh. Also, didn't he just make a movie for Gail? That's probably what got her fired, but anyway.
Yes. Well, yeah, it's a segment more so than a movie, but absolutely, he certainly did. And on a much mm-hmm. bigger scale than whatever this is.
Mm-hmm.
So then we're on Grams's fiery talking head about divine punishment for the harlots that dabbled in the dark arts. Bessie remembers a stoner from her high school class who disappeared on Witch Island either because he drowned or because the witches got him. A girl we've never seen before wearing a Who Killed JFK t-shirt blames mysterious occurrences on the NSA. Go ahead.
It's actually a Who Killed JFK Jr. shirt.
Oh, just... man, thank you.
Yeah. I actually was like, wait, did I just, like, went back to make sure.
Thank you for the correction.
Might have to get one of those / make them for the bookshop.
Mm-hmm. She's one of, there's a black extra in another scene, but she's black and so is the kid that's sitting behind her. And the camera zooms in on him for a second, like, glaring. And it seems like this, there's going to be more to this. And maybe there was that got cut, but, like, that's kind of it. She's in the class later, yeah. But. Whatever they're trying to indicate with that shot of him, like, it doesn't pay off.
No.
As the crew sets out, Pacey bitches that no one brought snacks, sloppy, and suddenly none of them has access to their own boats and they need to take a water taxi or something so that Dawson can interview the operator, who's also making a witch movie. These two Nimrods interview each other, Dawson looking very uncomfortable to be on camera, even before the boat guy says his doc is about all of the losers like Dawson trying to copy the Blair Witch Project, which is a pretty good joke.
Yeah.
He says they should not get so caught up in the spooky fantasy that they get stuck on the island after dark. Jen poo-poos him, but he is very serious. And with everyone duly creeped out, off they go. And the bow of the boat has... antlers on it with a net, like a fishing net draped over it. In our timeline, mm-hmm. looks like the shot of Lottie from season 2 Yellow Jackets poster.
Yeah,
so you can see the side by side in the visual aids to remind you.
I mean, like all of the, I'll just issue a blanket eye roll emoji for all of this.
Of
like,
course.
You know, there are all these like witchy seafaring death legends, both on the actual Cape and in like whatever Cape they're actually near. In North Carolina, you have like the Gray Man of Polly's Island, but you know, like you have all the Barrier Island ghost stories that they could have used if they just admitted where they actually were.
Yes.
But all of this is like, this would all be national park land, and this would just not happen. Like the tour guide would be like a park ranger,
right?
And they would have a prescribed pass they had to stay on, and then they would all have to leave by sunset, and none of this would be a thing. And certainly the unattended gift shop would not be a thing.
Okay.
But we'll get to it.
Thank you. We'll get to it. Gift shop and witch's cauldronry, but yes, we'll arrive. So after the ads, we're arriving at the island where a sign has been tagged to warn visitors to leave before it's too late. And our old friend Liz Vassy from season two of 90210, Marcy Dixon herself, is here playing Wendy Dalrymple, a chirpy member of the Capeside Historical Society. Jen groans at a reference to the dark period in American history the site represents. Pacey just wants to know if there's a snack bar and is told there is some food and drink in the gift shop. He will be paying for none of it because no one's there. Jen and Pacey head to the gift shop while Wendy condescends to Dawson in his little camera, and Joey sniffs that Dawson is ripping off the Blair Witch Project. Drink. Wendy leads them toward the cemetery all the filmmakers seem to love. Dawson snits at Joey that the Blair Witch Project was fake and his doc is real. Again, we heard you the first time, and Joey rolls her eyes, and so do we. And in the unattended gift shop, Jen picks up a book and sneers at the intro to a love spell. While she tries on a classic pointy witch hat, Pacey admits he doesn't believe in spells. Jen's going to try it on him since they have established that they're not each other's type. Clip six.
I'm sure that you score way high on some girl's cute meter, Pacey, just not mine.
Check again.
Get your eyes checked.
Jinx. They roast each other's recent partners, Chris, Ms. Jacobs, Andy, Jen referring in relation to the last one to Crazy Camp, which is rude.
Yeah, not okay.
In the cemetery, Joey notices that while 13 girls were sent to Witch Island, there are only 12 graves. Wendy says no one ever notices that. The missing one is Mary Waldeck, whose body was never found. Some believe that she haunts the island to this day, others that her true love rescued her. The abridged version is that Mary was an orphan who was taken in by the Bennett family and fell in love with their son, William. Speaking of not cool, that, I mean, but this was teen drama trope up through the Fosters, so fine, I guess. After William and Mary were found in bed together, they founded a college. Just kidding. His parents accused her of witchcraft.
I have that in my notes, too. Like, well, it all turned out okay in the end for them.
Yeah, Jon Stewart went there. Not bad.
Yeah.
Wendy gets heated as she describes Mary's terror and her separation from the love of her life and says it's why the place is so charged. It's filled with Mary's heartache. And clip seven.
Are you taking this down, Dawson?
What do you mean?
Soulmates torn apart by circumstances beyond their control, doomed to wonder what might have been. There's your movie.
He's not capable of telling that story, and I think you know that.
Yeah. Why is Joey now the one insisting on the soulmate narrative? It's weird.
Well, she was the last one to come on to him and get rejected, so I guess it's her turn. But yeah, no.
Yes.
No, thank you. Yeah, get where you're going. Hurry up. It's taking so long.
I know.
Anyway.
I know.
Dawson just ignores that and asks about the fire. Wendy says it was at the church in the woods, but she won't take them because she never goes there. And if the kids are smart, they won't either. Well, never mind then, because they're dumb. And then back in the gift shop, Jen is trying to do her love spell in a cauldron that's like there.
There.
I couldn't tell if it was bubbling, but like she's just stirring it. What is in it?
Yeah. You just took the ingredients and like, wouldn't you have electricity in a gift shop?
Yeah.
Except it clearly doesn't. I don't even know.
Well, yes, they're surrounded by lit candles. Again, if anyone works there other than Wendy, we have not seen them and won't. There's a cauldron and a tankard. Jen takes a sip from the cup and hands it to Pacey, easily overcoming his objections. And that is when Wendy storms in and yells at them for messing with things they don't understand. She's like, I don't know, don't leave your cauldron unattended if you don't want kids to fuck around with it. Like, is this your first day?
Yeah, really.
She curtly gives Joey a map, directing her to the church, and tells them not to get lost in the dark. And as they set off, Joey thinks Mary died a sad, lonely death. Dawson thinks people who are truly in love figure out how to be together. Even a penniless, orphaned, convicted witch in the 17th century, I guess. But, of course, we are not talking about Mary and William. We're talking about these idiots. Clip 8.
They were young. They were split up for a long time. Maybe he forgot about her. Maybe he met someone else.
If he did meet somebody else and forgot about it, then obviously they were never meant to be in the first place. See my point?
Could you be any more naive?
Could you be any more cynical?
Could you be any more irritating?
I got this one. No.
Well, I feel like they're going to find ways, but yes.
Yeah, they always do.
So they've arrived at the scary church. Pacey asks if they think there's a men's room there, as if a teen boy or man in the middle of a deserted forest wouldn't just pee wherever. That's the reason to have a penis, frankly. But
yeah, really.
Pacey takes off, Joey scowls, and inappropriate plinky plunky mischief music plays as the kids enter the church. The townsfolk built it to try to redeem the witch's souls, but they roasted the visiting minister so hard that eventually he stopped coming. Obviously, Jen thinks that rules. And as Joey stares at the altar, Jen goes to see if Pacey loves her yet. And when she's alone with Dawson, Joey repeats what she just read on the commemorative plaque. Clip 9.
They were murdered.
Beg your pardon?
It says here that a group of men from the mainland treated the island like their own personal brothel.
No, sweetie. It's not how we say that one. It's brothel, like the soup. Moving on. Clip 10.
When word got out, the Bible thumpers got together and decided enough was enough. And then an angry mob came, crawled the girls into this church, set it on fire.
And that's when William must have run off with Mary.
Hold on, Romeo. Why are you reading into this all of a sudden? How do you know that William didn't light the torch?
I don't know, maybe because he loved her?
How do you know he was such the enlightened male, Dawson? I mean, if the whole town thinks your girlfriend's a witch, maybe it's just easier to go with the flow.
That's not the story I'm interested in telling.
Well, a good documentarian looks at the story from all possible angles, Dawson. Not just from the perspective of his cloying and annoying worldview.
Do you want the cloying annoyance back, or don't you?
Right. Yes.
I mean, you shouldn't, but I don't know. Like, either hit him with a cafeteria tray or decide that you still like him?
Yes.
I mean, so many scenes restating the same shit over and over. So tired.
Yeah. She got the one vulnerable moment early on where she was like, oh, I thought you were talking about us. And then he's like, oh, I wasn't. I'm happy with us being friends. And then now she has to be like, okay, my walls are up and I'm acting like I don't care about anything. And you're, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe her way of making sure she doesn't make the edit is to shit on Dawson every time he films her. That's also a possibility.
Yeah. I mean, there's worse strategies, obviously, but it's also like, isn't the whole thrust of our theoretically wanting them to be together that they have known each other forever and are better friends, like practically family?
Yes.
So that he never gets what she's doing when she does this is classic Dawson, but also tiresome.
Indeed. Jen returns, still looking for Pacey. Dawson says they should wrap it up because it's getting dark, which, like, okay, your movie's going to be 4 minutes long, but sure. Jen tells them she will find Pacey and that Dawson and Joey should just go make sure the boat guy doesn't leave. And on the way back, Dawson asks why his optimism has Joey so irked. Yes, of course, that is his phrasing. She's bothered because she doesn't know what's going on with them, and he flaps that this isn't the time or the place to discuss that, and no, of course, that is not his phrasing this time. He says dissertation. When Joey snits back sarcastically, Dawson whines that they should just stay friends, but she points out that they're not even that. They don't know what's going on with each other's lives anymore. In the hell of the last year of her life, their bond always kept her going, but for the first time, she doesn't feel that connection, and I'm with her until she says it scares her, which, like, get a grip. Have other friends.
Yeah, really.
Dawson flares his nostrils at that, but he's saved from answering by the sound of the boat motor starting up. When they tell him he can't leave without Pacey and Jen, the boat guy reminds them that he warned them. They can come with him now, or he will return in the morning to see who's still alive. Dawson states that they're not stranding Pacey and Jen. The boat guy's like, bye, and also yelling as he departs that they better not go in the woods.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
So, of course, when we come back from commercials, we are with Jen and Pacey in the woods after dark as she asks if he feels anything yet. This is also where we see he has a flashlight. I refuse to believe anyone had the foresight to pack that and not snacks.
Yeah, and not cheese puffs.
Right.
Come on.
He says he is starting to feel something. Lost. Jen is so hungry she would even consider saying grace at dinner with Grams if it meant she wasn't lost in the forest with him. Pacey wants to know why he's always a bad guy and then recaps his breakup and brief reunion with Andy so that Jen can then recap Henry's crush on her. Pacey agrees that love always messes things up, but sex is nice. Jen agrees. Pacey's starting to think casual sex is the way to go, though Jen says sex is never casual. Cue the two of them trying to set rules for an arrangement. So I guess we're ripping off the Blair Witch Project and Seinfeld. Seinfeld back for the second week in a row after the pirate shirt. But Jen is intrigued. Might be the potion, but Jen's starting to look real good to Pacey, and she smiles and drifts away, and he follows. And then we're back in the gift shop where Joey has found a bound version of Mary's diary that Wendy edited. Clip 11.
Another day goes by without word from William. It's been but a few weeks' time since I arrived on the island, yet it feels like an eternity. This time apart has me wondering if our bond was but an illusion.
Is that what you think, Joey? That our relationship was some sleight-of-hand magic trick you made to fill up some hole in your life?
Look, I didn't say that, Dawson. Don't put words into my mouth.
I don't have to.
Dawson, don't you ever wonder, you know, where this is going, where we are exactly? I mean, is this just the first act, or is our story ended and we're just too stupid to realize it?
That one.
Calm down. Also, stop saying each other's names. It's the middle of the episode and you're the only other people in the room.
Dawson whinily asks why they have to figure out their status now instead of living in the present. And Joey says, clip 12.
Because the present sucks, Dawson.
Oh, sweetie. You don't know sucks.
Evergreen.
Dawson says, Joey's the one who told him some love stories never end. What happened to that girl? She cringefully recaps the season premiere moment where she took her shirt off and he still rejected her. Dawson has mustered some tears as we get this, clip 13.
If we are truly meant to be, then we will find a way back to each other. It's as simple as that.
You so sure about that, Dawson? Listen. I fill my days with memories of him. I remember how he used to look at me, as if I was his most valuable treasure. Has he found a new treasure? I can't help but wonder if we will be able to find our way back to each other. The road before us seems so very long, and my head is clouded with such dark thoughts. I feel our bond grows weaker by the day, and I'm powerless to stop it.
Clang is fucking right.
Yeah. R.I.P. our interest in this.
Yes. But also, like, again, and we complain about this all the time because it's true and we are correct, but, like, saying, you know, if we're meant to be together, we'll find our way back to each other is not how a teenager talks, not how anyone talks. Like, it, you know,
no.
This is how writers talk about, like, where the story may go. But, like, if you're not interested in a person now, you're not like, well, maybe in the future I'll want to get back together. Like, that's just not how people think about their lives, I don't think.
No. See, also her deciding at the beginning of season two that she needed a break to focus on her art, which we have not heard about months.
Right.
That it's like, has anyone in this room been or known a 16-year-old?
Yeah. Picking up a hobby and immediately dropping it, that's relatable for a 16-year-old. I'll give him that.
It's relatable for a 51-year-old, I'm just saying.
Anyway, assuming the bell is Jen and Pacey summoning them, they take off, leaving candles burning in a wooden gift shop full of books.
Mm-hmm. This bookstore owner wanted to kill.
When they're gone, Wendy comes out of the cauldron room holding a candle of her own and sort of lurks. And then Dawson and Joey run to the church. Pacey and Jen are already inside, having assumed it was the other two ringing, which is when Pacey looks up the bell tower and sees there is not a bell in it, and everyone is wigged. But they stay inside. Time passes, rain starts, the crew lights 4,000 candles, which are really still not enough for Joey to read Mary's diary by. When Jen asks, Joey tells her Mary just got a letter from William dated November 10th, 1693. Jen notes that it's also November 10th for them, but this episode aired November 17th. The previous one aired on the 10th, so I presume something got preempted or pushed or something, and this was, I assume they were supposed to line up with our timeline as well, probably.
I think so. I do get the feeling that the episode after this one may have been filmed before this one, but who knows?
Right. Joey adds, November 10th is also the day of the fire. Even though William wrote that he was coming to get Mary that night, she's scared because he says there are people in town who think the girls should be punished further. Joey seems surprised that that's the last entry. Like, did you think there were more on the back cover? Like, when you're reading a book that's paper, you can see where the end is. So, pages work. When Jen asks, Joey says William probably played Mary for a fool and took up with a well-bred hussy from the mainland. Jen thinks Mary and William sound like they were madly in love. Joey thinks sometimes love just ain't enough. Jen tells her not to let someone else's love light dictate her own. I don't know which someone she means. Does she mean Mary? Does she mean Dawson? Totally unclear. Just saying words. Still more time passes. Pacey checks in with Dawson, who has stopped filming, not feeling visionary at the moment. Not sure what he was feeling visionary about this explicit knockoff, as everyone keeps telling him. Does Pacey think Dawson made a mistake letting Joey go? He thought it was the right call at first, but now when he sees how much they've drifted, Dawson thinks he might have been wrong and that if they don't end up together, it will have been his fault. Well, it will, but just because you suck. Pacey knows Dawson was just following his heart, so it's not possible for Dawson to have made a mistake. Stop affirming him. As yet another interstitial of the church exterior seems to show the POV figure we can't see creeping closer, but that doesn't pay off either. Jen and Pacey have resumed their friends with benefits conversation. Once they've made sure they definitely don't have feelings for each other, Jen asks what they do now. Clip 14.
Should I take my pants off?
Maybe we should kiss first.
So conventional.
Maybe. Yeah.
But Pacey agrees. And just before they're about to connect, Jen asks if this is the spell. Pacey doesn't know or care. He does a riff on the opening screen of the Blair Witch Project that I won't repeat because it's not that funny. And then they kiss. With their eyes still closed, they agree it was weird, but they should try again. The second time is more successful, but is cut short by the sounds of angry men yelling, women chanting, and fire coming in from everywhere, including spontaneously in the wood stove in the corner. Chaos! After the commercial, a big W and other writing are glowing blue on the walls. Kids find each other and try to get out, but the door is stuck. A fireball explodes out from the altar, and then it all stops, and Joey easily opens the door. Outside, the girls are ready to swim home if they have to, while Dawson says there has to be a logical explanation. Pacey tells Spock he's not sticking around to find out. Like, what does... I would love to know what Dawson thinks the explanation is, truly.
Yeah. The tour guide tried to kill you because you're annoying. Only one I can come up with.
Yeah. So they run back to the dock where the boat with antlers on the bow is waiting, and Dawson shoots shaky cam footage as they leave. And we see then that Dawson's showing his movie to his poor classmates and Clip 15.
To be quite honest, I had envisioned a much more straightforward documentary on the history of Witch Island, but I was surprised by what I found there. A love story, pure and simple. two soulmates torn apart by the social climate of their time. And while what happened to us on the island is certainly open to interpretation, there's no dispute in the fact that the island embodies the emotional turmoil of a girl who didn't know what the future held for her and the boy she loved.
It's nice work, Mr. Leary. A tad derivative in the wake of the whole Blair Witch phenomenon, but inspired work nonetheless. I particularly like the part...
Hey, ma'am, what's that all about?
What?
It looks like two people standing on the dock watching you go. See, look close.
So, Dawson leans over to peer at the paused screen and scans forward to two figures in 17th century garb. There's a little peas and carroting from the extras as the credits cast lock eyes with each other, and I know why they're creeped out, but wouldn't the other students just assume that, like, it was fake? Dawson faked it?
Yeah.
That night, Pacey is sleeping at the video store counter when a noise awakens him and he sees Jen waiting to ask when they're going to talk about what happened out there. She has no idea about any of that, but doesn't want it to get in the way of their experiment. Pacey thinks they should take the mysterious event as an omen, but if anything, that'll prove to her that love mucks everything up. Pacey confirms that she's saying she still thinks they should have sex and is fine with that. She doesn't move, so he has to ask if she means she wants to have sex with him right now. Clip 16.
Do you?
I'm kind of tired, actually.
Oh, fine. Roswell's on in 5 minutes anyway, so.
Yes, appointment television, Roswell.
Yes, absolutely.
But yes, listeners, the former Chris Wolf has moved on to acting badly on a different WB show.
Mm-hmm.
Pacey should just let Jen know when he's ready, and he asks a clarifying question in the grossest possible way. Clip 17.
If I am ever in the need of a release, you're just going to help me out.
Exactly.
Why?
Clinical?
Yeah, this, yeah, no.
I'd never thought I'd miss the ice cream analogy, but talking about it like they're going to a hand job massage parlor is worse.
Yeah. Also, he's 16 and he's done it before. Like, I don't think he really needs your help. Mm-mm. Sex sensei, but all right.
Yeah. So Jen reminds Pacey it's a two-way street. They both think this all sounds great. He suggests they seal the deal by kissing on it, but she says kissing is intimate. Okay, Vivian. So they shake hands instead. Handshake season. Just handshake life, I guess. Over to Dawson's room where Joey's back on the good old bed to analyze the tape. She's convinced that it's Wendy and the boat guy on the dock. Dawson doesn't think that's the only possible explanation, so she unfortunately invites him to share his. Clip 18.
Girl is Mary Waldeck and the guy is William Bennett. Look at those clothes. That hat. Those are 17th century clothes if I've ever seen them.
I think the crack habit has definitely come between you and your cognitive powers, Dawson. Obviously, Wendy and the boat guy were screwing with us the whole time.
Skeptic.
Sucker.
Cynic.
Gullible.
I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe we've seen the world according to Dawson one too many times. Maybe we should just step out of the movie theater into the harsh light of day.
What? This is like really a lot of references at once, but that last one is to the outsiders and the line that bookends at least the movie and I think the show, right? I know it's at the beginning of the Broadway
that sounds
show,
right.
But like weirdly, an abandoned church being set on fire is like the pivotal point of that plot. So, which just occurred to me now while we're talking about it.
I
don't understand why it got stirred into this unattended cauldron of an episode, but here we all are. It made me want to go watch The Outsiders instead of this.
Yeah, for real. Joey shrugs back that maybe William and Mary found their way back to each other after all. Dawson then apologizes for taking their friendship for granted. She takes her share of the blame as well. Their intellectualizing is ultimately immaterial, she says. What matters is what they do and how they take care of each other, so they should not talk it to death and just check in with each other more. Good advice for all friendships, honestly. Dawson thinks he can do that. Joey turns back to the TV to say this is one X-file they're never going to solve. And while he suggests they could go back for a sequel, if the real Blair Witch Project is any guide, no. It's a one and done.
Yeah, really.
hey, he remembers, how did she do on her PSAT? And she says, brilliantly. And that's where we end it. Let's close up by naming our episode MVP.
I mean, I don't want to say Jack again, because I said last time, like, yeah, he skipped all this. Good for him. Mm-hmm. But I mean, everyone else is kind of, I don't know. I mean, I'm going to say Gail and Dawson in that interview bit at the beginning.
Yeah.
That was funny. I laughed.
I like that. I'll say Jen. She mostly kept her head, other than, you know, trying to do a love spell. But it's, I'm not going to lie, mostly because her hair looks so pretty in this episode.
It really did.
Least valuable player. The Capeside Historical Society really doing a terrible job keeping up this historic site. It's been graffiti tagged.
Yeah. Also, in my Cape tour experience, Liz Vassy is about 88 years too young to have the job. But my actual LVP, and it pains me, is Principal Green, both because of the Andy incident and complimenting Dawson on his project. Please just make him write the essay.
Yes!
Don't encourage him.
Ugh, good call. Oof.
Next time on Again With This, in the proud tradition of teen soap Thanksgivings since 90210 immemorial, the whole Capeside gang ends up at the Leary house, including Jen's mother Helen, the functionally orphaned McPhees, and Jen and Pacey's try-hard fuck buddy arrangement. And if that doesn't make you want to stick a wishbone in your eye, may we recommend our visual aids. That's all the important screenshots and GIFs from this and every other episode. They're at againwiththispodcast.com. And you'll find the entire archive of episodes of Again With This, including 90210 and Melrose Place, at againwiththispodcast.com/subscribe. I'm at random and inapt outsiders reference, Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Blue Sky at Sarah D. Bunting. Co-host is Roswell Plug, Tara Ariano, and she's on Blue Sky at Tara Ariano. And another episode goes by without word from our producer, David T. Cole. Talk to you next time.
Release.
Ah! no!
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.